The Lord helping us again. I seek your attention to chapter 1 of the book of Ruth and verses 16 and 17. The first chapter of the book of Ruth and the 16th and 17th verses. And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." We tried to speak a little first of the place where Ruth was and how descriptive this handmaiden of the Lord, this Moabite's damsel, is a type of a seeking soul. Brought out of bondage of Moab and of an idolatrous religion, and a child of grace brought out of the darkness, the distress of unregeneracy, and found now with holy desires in her heart towards the people of God, seeking to walk where they walk, seeking to go where they go, seeking to dwell where they dwell. There is such an earnestness in this. It is like, as it were, the witness of grace working within, or it is the evidence of grace working within in this statement that came from the lips of Ruth. We tried to speak a little from it this morning, and if the Lord would help us, we'll speak a little more tonight. "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee." And it may be a question that you may find the answer to. And this is the question: where did the Lord find you and I? If so be that he did, Ruth is evidently a very graciously led and blessed soul. But she was found in the ways of idolatry and of Moab. But as we said, she was called out of that. She was drawn out of that. She was brought to be in company with and desiring to stay amongst the people and children of God. There is nothing better, dear friends, to trace the leadings of the Lord. Would the Lord, even today, in the ways of providence, so lead the people of God, so show them the leadings. It is far better and it is far more secure to know where the leadings are of the Lord. This woman was led, and all God's children are those that are led. "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee." It was as if she said, "Do not persuade me to return. I've no heart, no desire, nothing in my nature wants to return from whence I've come. There's a going on, there can't be a turning back." And a seeking soul knows this, there's no returning. How often do you hear God's people? Well, perhaps you don't often hear it, but some of those dear seeking souls, they've said, in effect, that they've got no place in the church because they're so vile and so sinful, so undone. And then on the other hand, they say, "Well, I can't return to the world. I've no love for that now. Death has been stamped upon it, and there's a going forward in the ways of God, and there's a going forward as the Holy Spirit is so leading and directing them. Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee." My mind went to, at one stage this afternoon, I didn't know where it was, and I had to look in the concordance to find it. But in the closing chapters of Deuteronomy and the report of Moses, what is called the Song of Moses, is this word. He found him in a desert land, and in the waste howling wilderness, he led him about, he instructed him, he kept him as the apple of his eye. Now that's how the Lord deals with all his dear people. Where he finds them, where did he find us? Dead in trespasses and sins. What was the company that we kept? The world. We found in a wilderness and amongst a worldly environment, and our own heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And yet God in his mercy has a people whom he calls out from that state and that condition and puts into their heart that desire for, that love to the Lord and his people. And they have one desire, to live with them and die with them. Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go. And we said that was such a statement, really, because it is very solemnly true, my friends, what the Lord's purposes are for his people. They are to walk out a day at a time. What trials lie in their pathway, what afflictions lie in their pathway, when their end is, what the tribulations of the way must be. Whither thou goest, I will go. There seems to be such a spirit of submission, such a spirit of union and communion with Naomi, that Ruth was not to inquire what it was to be before her, but was to go. Now, we said also this morning that the state of a child of God, the best state is to be found in, is to be needy and poor. Needy and poor. Now that is the case, was the case here in this book of Ruth. Her occupation we read just now in the second chapter. She was a gleaner. Her hap was to light upon the field belonging unto Boaz. It is a great mercy, my friends, not to come to chapel only, but to come to chapel as a gleaner, to be found in the church of Christ as a gleaner. It speaks of poverty, it speaks of need, but it also speaks of a provision that God has made for the poor. But there was a little more blessing in this dear woman's life. There was handfuls of purpose. Is that what you come to the Lord's house for? That he might drop handfuls of purpose, purposely drop that food, that blessing, that mercy that shall be for good for your soul and good for your pathway. Whither thou goest, I will go. My friends, there was no doubt or there was only a determination to go on, and to go on in the ways of Naomi, and to go with her and to return to her people and to her place in Bethlehem. But she was a gleaner, she was a hungry soul. She needed to be, she lived off gleaning, and so does your soul, and so does mine. We live off gleaning. My friends, what is your spiritual life? How is your spiritual life? Could it be said before the Lord that you come to the house of the Lord as one that is hungry, that seeks a portion for their soul? I seek and hope to find a portion for my soul. That's coming to chapel under divine leadings of grace. For whither thou goest, I will go. And the Lord was directing her. Before her was a pathway that she had never walked before. Joshua was spoken to by the Lord in the third chapter of his book. And the Lord said, ye have not passed this way heretofore. my friends, and so is Ruth, and so are those like Ruth, those seeking characters who are led and directed by the Lord to pathways they've never walked before. And day by day, there was that which was revealed unto her. And into she came into the blessing that she was indeed appointed for, to be united to Boaz. For whither thou goest, I will go. And then where thou lodgest, I will lodge. I feel it is significant to note the way the Holy Spirit records this part of this text. The very definition of a lodge, you know, is something that isn't permanent. Isn't permanent. She doesn't say, where thou livest, I will live. Or where thou dwellest, I will dwell. It's where thou lodgest. It was as if it was a temporary abode. Now the Lord has lodging places for his people. My friends, if you and I are here, according to the appointments of God, this place will be a lodging place. Now, she was also found a spot and a place where she gleaned. And that was appointed of God also, so she was kept alive. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. My friends, the means of grace, that is one place where the children of God, the seeking one, the hungry one, the thirsty one, the one led of the Lord, my friends, thou findest in the house of the Lord a lodging place. That word of the poet, if I can gather it together, will explain it perhaps a lot more simply than I can possibly do. Here may I find a settled rest, while others go and come, no more a stranger or a guest, but like a child at home. You know what that means naturally? There's such a sweet similarity there, isn't there? Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. A place appointed, a place which you've been led to, a place which you settle in, to a place which God has put before you, a lodging place. There will Naomi be, there will the Ruths be, there will they who want a place of comfort and a place of food and a place of sustenance. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. My friends, when the Lord makes his house of prayer to be a lodging place, it's a temporary abode, of course it is. It's in preparation for that blessed place which is in glory, prepared for them. But whilst they're here on earth, there's a sanctuary, there's a little cause, there's a house of God, there's a place where a few poor sinners gather together and the Lord's presence is felt, and there's spiritual food and there's spiritual drink. For whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. My friends, it is a mercy if you can trace the way the Lord led you to the lodging place. Wonderful mercy, you know. Some of us went to hear the word of God yesterday, and the first hymn was based upon one of the words that was preached. From the Song of Solomon, chapter 1, we read the words of the bride. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? The means of grace is the place where the soul is fed, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. It's not just a chapel or a means of grace. It's a place where the people of God congregate because they've been led. And it's a place where they are fed and sustained by the gospel. It is a place where indeed they are taught a little and led a little and blessed in their souls. But what was the answer? If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tent. Now that is a lodging place. That is where he feeds. That is where spiritual food is found. But the leading to it, my friends, is nothing haphazard by any means of the dealings of God with your soul, and for the purpose of the blessing of your soul, there's nothing haphazard. It doesn't just happen. I was thinking the other day of that account in one of the books written of this chapel. And I believe it is in the time when it was soon built, or soon after it was built. And there was a roadman. And he came by, and I suppose he stood in that little entrance by the door, because it was raining hard. And he heard a hymn tune that he'd recognised, and he came in, and he stayed. My friends, there was a lodging place. And by all accounts, as we may read it, God provided that lodging place. For whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. The Church of Christ is a lodging place here on earth, the church militant. Oh, I do wonder sometimes whether there is a desires in the hearts of any that have not made an open profession of the name of the Lord Jesus, whether there is in the heart of such a desire to be there. For whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. The Lord Jesus Christ has appointed two sacred ordinances, and only two, of which the child of grace will be drawn to and indeed seek after and long to be found gathered with the people of God, where there is a fellowship, where there is a union. It's the Church of Christ is made up of sinners saved by grace. And each and every one of them are called out of nature's darkness. Each and every one of them, their hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. But they have in their heart also this desire that they shall be found in fellowship with the people of God, those who have walked the ordinances of his house. Whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. I said this morning of one Abraham's servant who inquired at Rebekah, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. What was said to him? What was said to him? Come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? That was what was said to him. That's how he came to be found in Rebekah's house. There was a sweet invitation given. Now, I'm not giving invitations. That's not the work of a preacher, to give invitations to join a church. When a person joins a church, they are led by the love of Christ. My friends, that's the only way to join a church, led by the love of Christ. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. And the apostle said, and the love of Christ constraineth us. That is the drawing, that is the entering into church fellowship and church union. Whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. And there is, you know, and I don't know if I can explain it so simply, but there is, you know, a holy jealousy over these things. There's a holy jealousy. That there's a desire found in the seeking soul of a believer, you know, that they may be led on and led into such a union and such a communion. Whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. My friends, don't look to the flesh to make this to be the standing upon which you may or may it be inclined to seek fellowship with the Church of Christ. There's no fellowship between the old man of sin and the new man of grace. But and the fitness, as we quoted earlier, all the fitness he requireth is to feel your need of him. Whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. And you will see too that this dear woman was led by the Lord and led to speak in such a way, in this positive, strong way that she does. There would be nothing in her heart was inclined to return to Moab, but there was everything in her heart to go after God's people and to be found with them. Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. That was the desire. It is a holy desire. It doesn't come from old nature. It comes from a new nature. It's the holy desire of a work of grace within. My friends, there is a people, and they are bound together by grace and by love. These are the people that are followers of the meek and lowly Jesus. This is the little flock of Slaughter. But I believe everyone under grace longs to have that evidence and assurance that they dwell with them and will be with them. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. You know, you will find too, it's a path of temptation. As sure as grace works in the soul unto life, so Satan will work temptation in the mind, my friends, to distress and to trouble a God-fearing and a seeking soul. And you know, he'll drag all sorts of reasons up to try to persuade, try to deter, try to make a person walk opposite to the ways of God. You know, it is said of the Lord's people, that thy sins and thy iniquities will I remember no more. But my friends, the Lord said that. But Satan will raise up and trouble and distress God's people by the remembrance of their past iniquities and transgressions. Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people. How does it come about? How does it come about, this Moabitess damsel to be united to the children of Israel? It is only as grace is formed in the heart that it can be so, my friend. The change, and it is grace that makes the change. It is the evidence of grace within. Thy people shall be my people. In other words, they shall be one, and I shall be one with them. What a blessed word the Lord Jesus Christ speaks of in that intercessory prayer as recorded in the 17th of John. My friends, there was a oneness there. Over the years, and we've lived long enough to trace this dreadful pathway which some will have you walk in, where there's only one church, they say. There's only one people, doesn't matter what denomination you might call yourself, but there's only one church. They will say, well, there is a oneness there, and they take out of context those words of Jesus Christ, and they shall be one. My friends, that is the exercise of a living soul. God and mammon can't walk together. Professors and possessors can't walk together. But God's people can walk together because they have something which is common, and I use that very carefully, found within them, thy people. Go back to that occasion in the second book of Kings, the Shumanite. I dwell among mine own people. And I believe if you've got grace, you won't want any other people. My friends, there's only two people on the face of the earth, and that's those that are saved by grace and called by grace and kept by grace, and those that abide in the world and love the world and imbibe the world and want nothing more than the world, thy people. What a blessed people. And Naomi was a part of thy people. And we might say this too about thy people. They are a covenant people. They are chosen of God. Israel was a covenant people. God chose them. And in the purposes of his choice stood that wondrous declaration of Moses, or rather as he spoke according to God's teaching, he spoke the words of God to Israel. They were chosen on the grounds of love and no other grounds. Thy people, they're a people that God loves, and they are safe in this covenant, safe and secure. It's the covenant of grace, and they're a people chosen by God whose love is eternally placed upon them, and are called by grace, saved by grace, led by grace. Thy people, my friends, they are the people of God. They are the blessed characters that make up the Church of Christ. Thy people shall be my people. There's a union that can't be broken. We shall come to that union in a minute. And death won't break that union either. My friends, it breaks natural unions. It separates husbands from wives, wives from husbands, children from parents, and so on. My friends, but this union that is spoken of here can never be broken by death. There is a natural separation, and it must be so. But it's a union, my friends. Blessed are those people, you know, who are bound together by grace and love, and death itself cannot break. Oh, there is a holy remembrance of the gracious and the godly that have passed into eternity. Whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people. And we read too in that second chapter the state of the spirit of Ruth. We said this morning, grace brings humility. Grace and pride can't walk together. My friends, it must be stripped away. Grace and idolatry can't walk together either. Oh, the humble walk and bearing and desires of a grace-taught soul. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Now, we must stop there a little. Thy God, my God. In the days of Israel, of course, they worshipped Israel's God. But we must look at the word in respect to this, my friends, God in those three offices, those three distinct offices. God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. You know, you'll find many a people profess to worship God. But you know, if you and I are not blessed, led and directed and taught of the Holy Spirit, there cannot be real worship. There cannot either be a true believing. God, the Holy Spirit. My friends, this is the God that is spoken of here. Thy people shall be my people, thy God, my God. If you and I have a right religion, the Holy Spirit is the author of it. If you have an interest in redemption, then it has been purchased by the sacrifice, death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. If by the grace of God you are found followers of the meek and lowly Jesus, is because there's been an eternal call and there's been an eternal choice, and God the Father made that eternal choice. Before all worlds were created, that choice was made. Though you and I were born in sin and shapen in iniquity, it didn't alter the choice if that choice is placed upon us. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. The God that she evidently had was an idol. The God that Israel had was the mighty God of Jacob, was one who created the world, one who called it into being. Read Genesis 2 and you will find these words very clearly, that God created a people out of the dust of the earth and breathed into it, breathed into him, and he became a living soul. This is the God where life comes from, spiritual life, eternal life at his request. To every saint is given safety on earth and after death, the plenitude of heaven. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Now, just go back a moment to those words, following after thee. And I said this morning, be very careful. It's after this, after thee, not following her, not following Naomi. My friends, if you are a follower, it is a follower of Jesus Christ. It is as he will be presented to the eye of faith by the Holy Ghost as the way of salvation, that there'll be any following. We read this morning in Luke's Gospel of that those words of the Lord Jesus Christ about taking up your cross daily. My friends, if there's to be a following, it's not in a person, it's in Christ, and it must be Christ. Because in Christ is salvation, in Christ is redemption, and in Christ is heaven. You may follow the people of God, my friends, but they won't lead you to glory. There's only one person that will lead you to glory. I thought this morning, I didn't say it, but I thought since, my friends, there is a love that binds you and I to the people of God if we have grace, but it is as you see Christ in those people, not as you see their old nature. There's nothing that will draw you to the children of God in their old nature, rather that would separate you from them. But when you can see Christ in them, in the people of God, then it will draw you to them. Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. And my friends, if you're under grace, you will need this God every day and every night. You will say with those two disciples, abide with us, for the day is far spent. You'll meet in his house and you'll beg, as I have to do, Lord, be with us, be with us. You start tomorrow, and whatever tomorrows of your lives are left to you, and if you're under grace, you'll say, Lord, go before me, make the crooked places straight and the rough places plain. And it comes to the sanctuary services, whether it's on a weeknight or on a Lord's day, and you'll say, Lord, bless me there. Meet with me there, deal with my sins on a way of mercy. May I be washed in the blood that was shed at Calvary. You will need this God every day and every moment of your day. My friends, what a mercy if you've got a seven-day religion. There's many a person have got it as it suits them. Service times, it comes out, Mondays it goes away. I remember years ago a minister saying, these people who put their religion away with their best clothes. My friends, the Lord keep us from such a religion. But if you and I are found in this text, thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God, you will need him. And you'll need him for pardon, you'll need him for peace, and you'll need him to direct your way, you'll need him to establish you in the pathway that he's led you so far, and you will need him as the remembrancer, who shall bring to your remembrance that which he has done. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. You might say, well, that then is the end of this desire. There is a holy concern, you know, a holy desire to be buried where the people of God are buried. Now, where are they buried? And I'm not talking about the graveyard now. Where are they buried? My friends, if you was here in, is it January when we laid what was mortal of our late member, Dorothy. My friends, we laid her where Christ was laid. We laid her where Christ was laid, waiting a glorious resurrection. This is the union here, you know. Where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. I believe I'm right in saying, and some of you might correct me if I'm not, I'm sure you will. But you know, I believe those of Moab weren't buried. I think they were burnt. I believe I'm right in saying that. Their disposal wasn't what we might call a Christian disposal. It wasn't an internment. I believe it was that they were burnt by fire. So you see the change in this dear woman. And so you see the change too, my friends, in a Christian, in a person or a seeker. Let's keep to the simplest description of the Lord's people, a seeking one. Where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. My friends, they will be buried in hope, and they will die in Christ, and they'll die resting upon the finished work of Christ, and they shall be buried in sure and certain hope of a glorious resurrection. That's where this is what I believe it is interpreted as far as the Lord's spiritual Israel is concerned. Where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. You know, my friends, we shall be separated one from another one day, separated bodily, but not so spiritually. My friends, it is only as the natural body dies and is laid in the grave awaiting the resurrection day. But where is the redeemed spirit found? My friends, it will be found with Christ, which is far better. There'll be no separation. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? My friends, you can say simply, nothing. Nothing. Where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. Now, I believe it is right, my friends, to make some comment on that last part. The Lord deliver us from any parting. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. The Lord keep us from divisions. That's what it means. Divisions in a church, divisions in a cause, divisions in the church of Christ. We spoke of the division this morning. We spoke of those who walked no more with him. My friends, there was a division made, and it was divine sovereignty made that division. Because if you walk away from the people of God, you walk away from those who are followers and believers in Jesus Christ. And I tell you something, my friends, I believe this, if you fear the Lord, you will pray against divisions in the church of Christ. Because it profits nobody. It profits nobody but Satan. Pray against divisions. Pray the Lord, bind us together as the heart of one. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. My friends, where there is a union, there can't be separation. Satan is busy sowing discord and distress and dividing the people of God over perhaps things that do not matter. My friends, where there is a bond, it is based on truth. Where there is a union, it is based on love. Where there is grace, it rests on a foundation. Christ is the center of the church, and all believers are found united to him. But Satan is busy today, as he ever was, and I feel we must say ever will be, to divide God's people one from another. The Lord ever keep us watchful over this, and prayerful over this. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. I've often said these dear saints of God, of course, walked their path as we did day by day. It doesn't matter what character you find in the scriptures, their pathway, we know the end of it. They did not. But oh, how they were led. This dear woman was led by the Lord. She gleaned in the field of Boaz. Naomi, which is a type of the church, or a type of an established child of grace, in the third chapter said, "Shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee?" And she sent her to Boaz. And Boaz, the near kinsman, redeemed her portion. And she became his wife. And she bore children. And as we said this morning, they were both in the line of Christ. My friends, she walked it out. And she came into the blessing. My friends, this dear woman was to leave the hateful ways of sin, turn to the fold, and enter in. But the blessing was before her, and the blessing was found with those who are the Lord's people, and that blessing only will be found there. Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. And the Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. Amen.
Announcements this week are as follows. Possibly there will be a prayer meeting on Wednesday evening. The pastor will preach next Lord's Day. The amount in the building fund box at the door for May was £228. Came saints above, how great their joys, how bright their glories be. They marked the footsteps that he trod, his zeal inspired their breasts, and following their incarnate God, possess the promised rest.